Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had a couple of weeks that, you know, that nobody wants to be part of. The governor had ruled that they was going to close Benton Harbor High School. She came down here and asked for the vote of the residents of Benton Harbor. And she said that she will work with the community. And she understood the conditions of the community. But unfortunately, she came here on Wednesday and she stated she must close Benton Harbor High School down. And she would not be bullied by the residents. She came in with a whole different tune. Let me give you just a little bit of information. On Monday, before the governor came here, actually the Monday before that, the mayor, Marcus Muhammad, got up and made an announcement. He stated that they will be gentrifying from Main Street on Riverview all the way to Empire, and the high school set on Empire. The football field is right there. The baseball field is right there. They have a school building right there on Riverview. And he stated, his exact words, that this area will be nothing but stores, new stores, and here's the key word, and it will produce 1,000 jobs. You see, he didn't realize that it was going to be a big backlash. Because usually people in Benton Harbor, they get excited if I get excited. I got excited. I knew what he was saying on that Monday. I knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying that they're going to put up a gated community where the high school is. And on that Friday, the CEO / superintendent made the announcement that the high school will be closing in 2020. Now, the community is upset now. See, sometimes you have to be able to read between the lines. I knew that was coming when the mayor made that announcement. And at that time, the mayor was part of what Whirlpool and these business people was doing. But this is the election year. He realized that what he was saying was 100% wrong. So now he jumped back on the community side. He made an announcement, no high school, no PGA here, which he don't really have that authority to do. It takes 5 votes to get it done. But it's good PR, though. It's good PR. And they, you know, Whirlpool know that he can't make that decision because they may still have 5 votes on the commission. But I said this. These are my words. I told them they cannot steal land from the residents of Benton Harbor unless the commissioners approve it, which includes the mayor. They can't do it. I said, I would not be concerned if I'm in control. That could never happen. And no high school, no new developments here in this community. The master plan must fold. So when we're talking about that, even in the report from the letter to the governor, Whitmer, that was written by the board, it says here, the land upon which the Benton Harbor High School sit, with an athletic field, adjacent school board property, are the last major undeveloped waterfront property in Barron County, Michigan. If this just a coincidence, given that your office just told our board representative on 524 that your plan to close Ben Harper High School major but unnamed supporters in the nearby community. They didn't name who it was. But one thing, it was the ministers here in Benton Harbor. They was part of that. And Whirlpool Corporation. And then they goes on to say the draft plan from your office, especially a transfer of wealth from an overwhelmingly poor and black community, Benton Harbor, to a nearby white affluent communities under your plan, that transfer of wealth will occur through the loss of Benton Harbor High School and the use of school land. Transfer of state funds from Benton Harbor to the adjacent 9 district schools where you plan Benton Harbor students to be redistributed, and loss of jobs for local teachers and staff on all levels. That's interesting. The contention by the representatives of your office that hiring a single staff person to act as a culture dummy to smooth over discomfort, which was the CEO slash superintendent. You see, they brought him in to smooth the transition over. His job was not to make the high school better, not to educate the high school students. His job was to come in here and smooth over the takeover of the high school. That's what the CEO slash superintendent job was to do. And they didn't figure it out. I informed them under the Michigan Constitution law, you cannot have a CEO over a public school system, over the public school system, because here's the reason. You would have to be, see, when you have a CEO, it becomes a business, and the public school system could never become a business, and that's what we're saying. But here's some more key facts. Let's look deeper into this. The Benton Harbor Area School Board is strongly committed to improving education and opportunity for the students. A deeper part of the story is about money, land grab, Whirlpool Corporation, and jobs. Losing schools and students affect the entire community, and that it do. It actually do that. It says 2,782 students. Sorry about that. 2,782 students of Benton Harbor Area School attended school outside our district, and they lost $22 million. Amazing. But we just don't get it. You know, Governor Whitmer came here, and she told us she was going to help Benton Harbor. She was going to do everything in her power to help the resident of Benton Harbor, and she had failed the resident of Benton Harbor. But we have to do what we need to do in order to make things happen. We cannot be successful unless we join together. That was a very, very strong showing on Tuesday. People came from every place, Detroit, Flint. They came from Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. And it shows what the people can do. On Wednesday, they went to a small church. Some of the people who wrote the letter to the governor, and asked the governor to close high school down because Whirlpool wanted to close out. They worked for Whirlpool Corporation rather than for the people, you see. And it was 18 names on the letter that was sent to the governor. I confronted a couple of the ministers, and they said that they had nothing to do with the letter. They knew nothing about the letter. It may have came through some other source, just Atterbury and this guy named Gully and Steve McCoy, the Burden, Melvin Burden, and Willie T. Burden. We know that they were part of it because they was pushing for the takeover of the Benton Harbor schools along with government, because they get paid underneath the table, these ministers do. So amazing how we sit back and think about this. But what I want to do right now, I want to kind of like switch the tune a little bit. I want to bring in my good friend Sherry Wells from the Detroit area. And she was there at that meeting Tuesday. And she's an educator. She ran for the state school board. And she's a member of the Green Party and a very, very good friend of mine. Sherry Wells, are you there? Talk to me.
I am here, Reverend, as requested.
Absolutely. And let me say this to you before we get started. I really thank you for coming. And usually, you know, when we talk to you on the phone or something like that and ask you to come, you normally don't even hesitate. You show up. I remember you came during the summer. You went to the school board meeting. And you know, it's a privilege and an honor, Sherry. I really, really thank you for your work and the things you do. But here's what I want to talk to you about. First, I want to start off, then I'm going to let you say what you want to say. I want to talk about the meeting itself. I kind of felt that people got up and kind of like educated my community by saying, because most of the people that spoke was really from out of town, most of them. Not all of them, most of them. And I think what you said was so important. Can you tell us a little bit about what you said? Which, you know, I thought that was really, really remarkable.
I made several points, and some of those points I've been making everywhere I can since then, too. One is that according to our Michigan Constitution, redrafted in 1963, and one of the people on it was one of my high school history teachers. I went to high school near Grand Rapids, and they said the governor is ex officio only with regards to the State Board of Education, with regard to education at all. She has no authority to do anything but send herself or somebody to their meeting at their table, and he's allowed to speak. He doesn't get to vote. And he doesn't usually say much of anything. So she has, first of all, no authority. Her having her little meeting the next day at a church does not separate church and state. I had a problem with that, too. When I couldn't get a teaching job after I got my degree in education, I went to law school. So I pay attention to some of those things. But one of the things that was the biggest, there's another Sherry around who's a current state rep, Sherry Gay Degnogo, who's a rep in Detroit, and she's had education panels because she's a teacher before she became a legislator. And one of the people on the panel was the Kalamazoo School District Superintendent, Dr. Michael Rice, who drove all the way to Kalamazoo to be on her panel in Detroit. And he said, and people that evening, Tuesday night, repeated what I had said that he said. He was there because he said, "Your kids are our kids, and what they do to your kids, they're going to do to ours." He's to take over as superintendent of the State Board of Education this summer. I was looking at to try to contact him at the Kalamazoo. I did send a letter at one point thanking him for that visit, but I looked at his blog. He's got some wonderful things he says about education and students. And the Kalamazoo School District blog is interesting, and I want to make sure if he starts to waver from any of that, we hold him to it. But your kids are our kids, and that's true all across the board. But something since then, someone else who was there from the Green Party wrote me, and some of the stuff she said, and you can add to it, please, was heartrending. She said, "But a town without a school and the community around his school is no real town. No football games to attend, no choirs, no plays, no marching band to represent the city in the Blossom Time parade." And you can tell me, and your listeners, or remind them of all these other things that the high school presence and activities and meetings, and I would like to hear that because people can't be untouched by that.
Absolutely. Let me say this. You know, one of the signature things about Benton Harbor, not only their basketball teams, But also, they have sent people to many different colleges and became very successful. And plus, the marching band is the heart. It's the heart of this community, along with the high school itself, the marching band. I don't know where you was here in, I believe it was the year 212 when Snyder came here. And when Snyder came, we had the union. They brought about maybe 15, 20 buses full of people. We had maybe about 5,000 to 6,000 people at the Blossomtown Parade that came in on buses and cars and everything. And what they did was that everybody was waiting for the Benton Harbor Band. They was going to be. They made them the very last individuals in the band, which we didn't mind because we had a plan of our own. When Snyder thought that all these people, maybe 5,000 to 6,000 that was Caucasian, that was lined up, he thought everybody was for him. When he decided he was, rather than riding the convertible, he was going to walk. And when he came past us, we stopped peeling off and joined the parade and got in right behind him. It intimidated him so bad because they was about to give, well, he had gave people a pink slip on that week before that. And that's when we notified the union, which I did. I called the union and asked them to come. And they came. And on a week, week notice, they was organized. And they joined the parade. I'm talking about 5,000 people marching behind Snyder. He was so scared. It was the greatest protest I have ever been in. And he ran and got in his SUV, and everybody ran after him. And on that Monday morning, he changed that. He no longer, well, it was according to him, that the pink slip, nobody had to fill out applications again for their job. Their job was permanent. But that's what I'm saying in reference. And most people, they don't quite understand that if they don't believe that you can do something, they're not going to change their mind about stuff. See, right now, the governor saying that she cannot and will not change her mind about closing Benton Harbor School. But it's really not up to her.
Exactly.
And you just,
she has
you
no
just
power to do
that.
That.
Yes, and you just explained that to the people. But most people around here really didn't, because I really didn't know. I thought that she had the authority to do that. But you explained that Tuesday night, and you said it, with your own words. But let me ask you this. What would you think would be the next step for us?
Oh, recalls is one I've heard people say.
Yeah, well, that's
I've heard people say, look, we gave you our black votes, and look what you're doing to us.
Absolutely. And they got to, if we decide to recall it, we got to really, really be organized, because they got a 60-day signature requirement. It can only, they're only good for 60 days. That don't mean you get 180 days, but if you get someone on the first day, on the 61st day, if you don't turn it in, that those signatures are no good. So it's a challenge.
But there's also the point, and this happened in Ferndale. We had someone was not allowed to pass out our signatures because she wasn't a resident of Ferndale. She had two places she lived in Michigan. Mm-hmm. But someone suggested, because there was an election in between, so my daughter stood out and got about 80 signatures in that 4 hours, and we went into the city hall with those, and they knew we could get the rest. And so they finally did what they were supposed to have done on this particular issue. And it's a very similar to what you did with Snyder, is you just said, hey, well, we've got some power here.
Absolutely.
Don't think we don't.
And that's the thing. See, people always talk about protests and all that. It does. And also, what protests do, it also organizes. See, a lot of times people don't get that. You see, oh, it ain't going to do. Yeah, it's going to do something, because what happened with Snyder was such a. And here's these teachers at this high school. They really didn't like me, but they came to me when they felt that there was an issue that I could resolve for them. So they came to me and wanted me to help them. Matter of fact, they came to my home, and they had never been to my home in their life. But here's what I'm saying, right? It's so important that, you know, that we fight this thing. And I am so glad that you made that statement in reference to her. She does not have that authority. It's the board that you ran for that board, is that correct? You ran
yes,
for the
I did. Three times in 4 years.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And also
so much about education in Michigan that I'm exploring a next step that I can still, without running for that particular office again, maybe have something that I can contribute on education again.
Well, you can definitely.
So I'm not done because I've learned too much.
Absolutely.
Pardon me?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I want to input something that I want your listeners to please think about. I do genealogy research. It gets me some food that my Social Security doesn't cover. And in that process, you learn things. There's even saying that sometimes these life experiences, generation after generation, get into one's DNA. My son's father's family, they had 4 out of 5 generations were fatherless children. One father died of typhoid fever when the kids were preschool. One went to join the Civil War and died of something in a hospital, not lead poisoning, and so on. So it got to the point where it's like they don't know how to be fathers. Okay, so what's been done to our African-American community is, do they not know how to stand up in the way they need to stand up? I will support what it does, but I can't lead it. It's not mine to lead, but I'll be behind every bit of it. So please, please give me something to stand behind you with. Don't
Absolutely.
Roll over. Please don't.
Well, you can almost bet your life that Sherry Wells said, I will not roll over. You know, you can.
Well,
I don't care
that.
What they bring. Or what they say or what they do. I will not roll over, and we're going to fight, and we're going to fight to the end. And one of the things that's going to happen.
We need all of us. And one of the things that some of the people who came were people who they were from other communities. They were from some of the communities who have already been devastated by this crap. They were from Buena Vista, Inkster. When I was a little girl, I went to an Inkster elementary school. It's gone. It is wiped off that map, and they did that to it. And that's why people came from all over the place, is to say, we feel your pain. We literally feel your pain because we've been put through this too.
Absolutely. And I tell you, that is so amazing. And I'm really proud of you because I remember when you came down here and went to the school board meeting, and you didn't have to come. And I'm thinking you, and you know, we always have a school board meeting at night, and you traveled at night just to be here. And I think you stayed a couple of days over or something like that.
That was my homework. That's homework.
Yeah.
I even attended a rural school district meeting, but I told people I've attended Detroit school district meetings before and after what they did to that. And in fact, I was talking to Herman Davis because he was on the school board. He remembers me being at those meetings, but that's part of my homework. Same as talking at the State Board of Education during public comment and telling them there is no level playing field that you're giving Benton Harbor, and that's wrong.
And it shouldn't be, right. And you know what? It is not surprising that, you know, that they want that land. I would, if you would have told me during the election when Whitmer was running for governor that she would flip like this, and not only with the residents of Benton Harbor, but with Detroit also, because with that insurance that she caved into, that's going to be devastating also for the poor people. And
I've been telling people our Green Party candidate was president of her school board. And it was a school board that managed to escape the emergency manager thing because they hired and supported a dynamic African-American female superintendent. And that's who people could have voted for. But no, they're voting for these Democrats and Democrats. And I'm so tired of all of these Democrat candidates dissing their own party. Okay? Then get out of it.
Absolutely.
There is an alternative.
And here's the thing, Sherry. They've been sending a message to us for the last 25, 30 years. The same message. They can count because they don't really even campaign a lot in the black community because they know that black folks is going to most likely vote Democrat. They don't care how they kick us around. We still go out and vote Democrat. You see,
and I've been telling people that we don't own people anymore. The Democratic Party doesn't own you. Don't act like it.
Absolutely. And the Green Party, I do plan to be at the Green Party convention. My goal is to be there. And Eric, he has asked me to come. He's going to come next week down here. I don't know what day that he's going to come. I don't know whether you'd be available or not. But we're going to sit down and set up a game plan, what we're going to do and how we're going to deal with this situation. But, Sherry, you have been a perfect example of what a politician which should be because you are already there on the battlefield. You're always there. I have never known you not to be on the battlefield. And I personally really appreciate you because, I tell you, what you said Tuesday night, to me, really got my attention. You see, a lot of times, you know, we're mostly rallying the folks more than anything else, trying to get the people in a different mood, you know, that this is what we need to do and this is what needs to be done. But what you said in reference to the governor, that she doesn't really have that power to do that. And yet still,
I haven't seen anything that gets her that power.
Yeah. But you explained it so clearly. She don't have that power to do that. And, wow, and her governor official was there at that hearing. And maybe that's why she made the statement the next day that she won't be bullied, and she got to close the Benton Harbor High School, which is so, so amazing to me.
She won't be bullied, then she's feeling the pressure.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they you know they're going to be in Lansing on Tuesday. The mayor's supposed to meet with the Black Caucus. They're having some kind of lunch with everybody. Everybody invited, but by June 6th you had to tell RSP. You know, your reservations and stuff like that. So I had no intention of going. But anyway, it is something for people to think. People going to be coming from Detroit, Flint, or Kalamazoo. They're going to be coming from all around to be there. And they're there to support Benton Harbor, and which is a magical thing. I don't know whether Eric going to be there or not. But look. You got 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desires. Then I got to bring on our candidate for governor and take it from there. Go ahead.
I think I've said what I would have wanted to say, and I'd be glad to hear Jennifer's golden voice again.
Absolutely. And I tell you, Sherry, you're my hero. You're one of my heroes because you was fighting this and you saw this. Coming even before it actually happened because you wouldn't have came down here and stood beside us if you didn't see it coming. And you came down here, with an idea, with a plan, and you executed your plan. And unfortunately, we're up against fascism right here. We got our governor merging with the corporations to take over a poor city like Benton Harbor.
From people all over the state. You had a unity that I don't think has been seen before.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's going to continue. And what she believed that people, like, especially people of color, you know, we run fast. But according to her, we don't run long. You know, we can't run 3 years. You see, 2022 is 3 years away. Will we be able to continue to run this race up until that moment? She don't think so. But we're going to prove that we can. She definitely.
Thank you.
I'm going to be riding that horse, and I'm going to ride it until the election in November. And that's a promise, not to say so. And on that note, Sherry, I want to thank you so much for being on my show. Love you. Tell Eric and everybody I say, hey, tell my Green Party friends that hang in there. The fight is on, but we're going to continue this and make sure that we get where we need to be. And I'm going to bring on your good friend and my good friend, Jennifer. Is it Kirkland, I believe it is?
Kirkland, K-U-R-L-A-N-D, Kirkland.
Kirkland. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you quite well, Jennifer. How are you doing today?
I'm lovely. How are you?
I'm great. You know, it's always an honor to have you on, you know, because, you know, you should have been the governor. I can't see no reason why that you were not chosen as the governor of the state of Michigan, because what we have now, we have a major problem.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, of course, to Sherry, whom I also love and respect very much, and love her whatever she wants to run for in 2020. She has my full support in.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I know that. One of the things that I know that you're on the school board in Redford, I believe it is.
I was. So I had a 6-year term on the Redford Union School Board, and my term was up last year. My term ended in December 2018.
Mm-hmm. Were they also trying to close your school down, any schools in your area, or talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I will do my best to make a long story short. So when I came on the school board, so I ran for school board in 2012. So my term was from January 2013 to December 2018. We were a deficit district, and there was certainly talk in Lansing about whether or not they would put an emergency manager over us or not. And what it seems like there was is there was some behind-the-scenes conversations about whether or not the state should just merge the two major school districts in Redford. So technically there are three different school districts in Redford. I represented Redford Union. There was also South Redford, and there's a very small portion of Redford that is in the Clarenceville School District, which is another four communities, which is also a smaller school district. So they wanted to merge Redford Union and South Redford. So we went through a period of time, and I was elected president of the board in 2015. So soon after I became president of the board, our superintendent left. We were able to hire a new superintendent in, and as we were doing the hiring process, there were some rumors going around the community about South Redford merging with Redford Union. And it turns out, you know, after a almost three-year-long fight, some of the things that I found out is, number one, the state of Michigan has a long-term plan of closing hundreds of school districts across the state. They think that, and don't ask me who they is, Department of Education, state of Michigan, obviously it was not just Snyder's administration. This is a longer-term plan that apparently also encompasses the Democrats. And so they think that there's too many school districts in the state of Michigan, and they want to combine school districts across the state however they can. So that's where part of, you know, what was affecting my school district and Inkster and yours and so on and so forth is also the case. One of the other things I found out, also from doing some research into Flint and some of the things that are going on financially around the state, is that you can't refinance bonds of a school district that's dissolved and no longer exists. So when Inkster and Buena Vista was dissolved, but I know just a little bit more about Inkster, it's a neighboring community to Redford, the community still had bond debt. And once they dissolved the Inkster school district, the powers that be, you know, the people that make money on these municipal bond deals, realized that they couldn't refinance those bonds. And so then it became a larger question of what to do with Inkster's debt. But if you notice that they stopped, after they dissolved Inkster and Buena Vista, they stopped dissolving school districts, even though they had plenty of other school districts that had that threat hovering over them at the same time. They stopped because they couldn't do anything financially. There was no financial gain to that. So that's when you started seeing what they're trying to do to Benton Harbor. It's happened to Highland Park. It's happened to Muskegon Heights, I believe. And I know there's other communities around the state that no longer have a high school, but still have some of the lower schools. And they're slowly forcing people into charters in those communities. And taking away their taxation without representation, because you can't run for a school district and represent your children on a school board if your school district doesn't exist and they haven't changed the boundaries. So the people in Inkster, if they ever wanted to run for a school board for the school district their kids now go in, they can't.
Wow.
So that's, you know, this other, you know, kind of larger issue, because they're technically still in Inkster school district. They never redrew those legal boundaries. And so, you know, that's, you know, kind of another larger issue. But when you close a high school, you're essentially, you know, shuttering the entire public school district. And what happens too, though, on the other end, is that that entity of the school board, the entity of the school district, still exists. So because that entity exists, people who do, you know, these financial deals, they can, you know, oh, well, the high school got lost, so that's a, you know, major change. Now we can do something with debt, because we're trying to do it for debt, and that's an excuse to refinance bonds, and all of a sudden you have bond deals going on. So that's something that, you know, we saw in Flint, we saw in Detroit with the Detroit bankruptcy and the splitting of the DWSC and the GLWA. So it's kind of a larger issue around our state, too.
Oh, absolutely. Let me say this. Do you know anything about Chickawa Hill School? It's in Remus, R-E-M-U-S, Michigan. I know it's close to Detroit.
No, I'm not familiar. What? Tell me what's going on.
Well, they're supposed to be, I don't have any, it was given to me by someone on Tuesday, that they're $120 million in debt. They've been in debt for the last 45 years. 95% of the school population is white, 2% is black, and they never once attempted to close this this high school or this school district down, and each year they keep accumulating. I don't know whether it's true or false. It was given to me on Tuesday at the meeting that we had, and he told me to look it up. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find it, but maybe you could look this up for me also and see what you can come up with. It's Chippewa Hills School in Remus, Michigan. And that school district allegedly owes $120 million. They've been owing that money for over 45 years, and they never want to. Mentioned at all about closing the school down. I don't know. It would be easy for them. Benton Harbor is $16 million in debt. And to me, it would be simple just to forgive the $16 million, because it's really just paper and stuff like that, because the governor could write it off or whatever they do, because same thing they did with Detroit, the Detroit school district, when they wrote off their debt. And I don't see why they just have to come in here and close high school completely down. I don't see that. I don't see that happening, but the governor made the statement, I have to close it down. That got my attention when she said that, because when she made the statement she has to do it, that tells me somewhere along the line she's being forced to do this. So by you being a superintendent, by you being on the school board, you would have some kind of insight about some of this stuff. And what amazed me more than anything else, the people have to rise up. We had a tremendous crowd on Tuesday. but we can do better.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the main ways that my community was able to stop this from happening was that, you know, people stood up. You know, as the Redford Union School Board, we were vocal. We were doing press releases. We held town halls. You know, we made sure that our community was aware of, you know, everything that we knew, what was going on, you know, that, you know, the people who were trying to do this were not giving us the correct information. you know, people were calling and writing, because this was something that was started through my former state senator and the other school district, but nobody was talking on their end. They didn't want the community to know really what was going on, you know, especially when we did a FOIA request and we found out there were secret presentations being made to the governor's office. And, you know, I had to, you know, kind of do some behind-the-scenes politicking because there was an amendment in the school aid budget that, you know, was potentially going to, you know, cause, you know, additional strife. It was really just, you know, when you're fighting for your schools, you have to fight with everything you possibly can. You know, we had students, we had parents, we had the school board, we had our superintendent. You know, we were as, you know, public and transparent as possible about what we were doing to fight things. And I think it's also kind of interesting that, you know, I know people in the Farmington Hills School District, and I was told that when, you know, the Benton Harbor School Superintendent was just hired in Farmington Hills, which is a neighboring community to mine as well. And it was a 4-3 split vote, and I was told that it sounded like the school board didn't want either of their top two candidates. So that's really interesting too, you know, because it certainly is going to be easier for the governor to try to, you know, push the school district into agreeing to what she wants to do, when they don't have a superintendent, who's, you know, able to fight for them.
Absolutely. And this guy, he had no intention of fighting for, the Benton Harbor students or the school or anything, because he already knew that he was leaving. I think his job when he came there was not to educate the student, but to prepare the community for the sale of the high school. Because he made the announcement, I believe it was in November, that he already had a buyer for the high school and the surrounding land, meaning the football field, meaning the baseball field, and also they own a place that used to be a bank right there on Riverview. So he was telling them and getting them ready for it. But sometimes people don't, okay, he's just talking, you see. He's just saying stuff. That's how people see. Sometimes it goes right over your head because most people don't get it, you know. And then we had our mayor, he stood up and told the people point blank that we're going to gentrify this whole area all the way to your high school. So you think they're going to leave the high school there? I mean, how naive can people be? And it didn't shock me because I jumped on it right away. I said, the high school is gone. And on that Friday, they made the announcement that they will be closing the high school in 2020. We got to wake up.
And that's very similar to what, you know, I mean, I just want to draw the parallels, right? Because this is not something that is unique to Benton Harbor. This is something that has been happening to school districts across our state and is going to continue to happen to school districts across our state. Because when South Redford was trying to take over Redford Union, one of the things that was brought up as a concern from a parent is that Redford Union is the second largest landholder in my township, second only to the township. If this other district had taken us over, and of course they would at that point then be closing some buildings because they wouldn't need all of the buildings. You'd now have these very large patches of land that they could then sell to the township. And our township supervisor was aware of, you know, she was in these FOIA emails as someone who was in the loop of what they were trying to do. And then the township would have had the land and could sell it to, you know, real estate developers or, you know what I mean? I mean, there's, you can follow the money.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can follow the money. And it's not about, you know, bettering our children's education. It's about how can we sell public resources as cheaply as possible to the donors to our campaign.
Absolutely. You are right there. You are right there. But listen, I want you to take 2 minutes of your time and tell us what you think is best right now for the people in the community of Benton Harbor to do. I got to bring on my next guest, Belinda Brown from Louisiana. But I want you to tell us what you think our next step. I'm hoping that when Eric and Sherry come down, I'm thinking they're coming down next week sometime to meet with me, that you might be able to come with them. I don't know. I know you're busy, and I know they'll know your schedule is tight, but anything you can do to help, send something, email me some information, that would be perfect. And also, if you could take the time out to try to locate this school district and get any information you can, that would be perfect for me. But listen, take 2 minutes and tell us what you think we should be doing.
Sure, absolutely. So I wrote down the name of the district, and I'll see what kind of information I can find out about it. And thanks, of course, for having me on. It's always lovely to chat with you. We'll talk about, you know, when they're going next week and if I can go, because I'd love to come out there. So, you know, one of the things that I think is going to be really important for the people of Benton Harbor, you know, to work to fight is, you know, in Michigan, we're not just 6 degrees of separation. We're like 3 degrees of separation, especially in, you know, different communities. So I would say to, you know, the people of Benton Harbor, you know, talk amongst yourselves and organize amongst yourselves, but call friends and family around the state and tell them what's happening to your school district. Tell them that this is very similar to what they've tried to do to Highland Park, to Muskegon Heights, to Redford Union, to Inkster, to Buena Vista, that this is a larger issue around our state and that we all need to rally together about our public schools, because this isn't like the DeVos agenda that the Democrats want to try to push, that it's the big bad Republicans that are trying to push charter schools on our communities. We have a Democrat governor. She is the one that's doing it now. We know Jennifer Granholm is the one who put Detroit Public Schools back into debt after forcing them into emergency management as well. So this crosses, you know, this blue-red divide. Public education is, you know, I think one of the number one issues in our state, because when we look at this pattern of behavior of our government and how they are trying to destroy our public schools, they've been public that they want to close public school districts, and this is how they're trying to do it, and we need to fight back.
Absolutely. And
we need to join together around the state.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's my plan from the start. And we've been doing quite well getting everybody involved. But, Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for being on. And you know, we're going to continue to fight. We're not giving up. We're not quitting, you know. And we already know the plan. But our job is, since we know the plan, is to stop the plan. Jennifer, thank you so much. You know, just having you as a friend is just tremendous. And I want you to know I love you. And listen, if you can come down with Sherry and Eric and the rest of them, please do so.
Absolutely.
All right, Jennifer.
Rev. And thank you so much. You are an awesome activist and a voice for the people.
Amen. And thank you so much. You have a very, very nice day, and we'll talk to you soon. And now I've got to bring in my good friend from Louisiana, Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only. There's not another one like her in the whole wide world. I mean, I don't care where you go, you won't find another Belinda Parker Brown. It's just too impossible to make two of them. It's, you know, when they made Belinda Parker Brown, they threw away the mold. Belinda Parker Brown, are you there? Talk to me, Belinda Brown.
Pastor Packney! Pastor
on?
Pinckney, I am here. I am here, and I am really enjoying your show, especially your last two callers, Sherry and Jennifer. I think that they have hit the nail right on the head, Pastor Pinckney, in regards to how people strategically plan to lock in their career as being politicians. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that this is what it's all about that's happening in Benton Harbor, Pastor Pinckney. It is a you said many years ago that it was a hostile takeover.
Absolutely.
You've been saying that, Pastor Pinckney, and true enough that when you take away your hospital, where your children can no longer be born in the city that their parents live in, you take away their schools, because you know I'm a graduate of Benton Harbor High School, so now that doesn't mean nothing on a transcript that you graduated from Benton Harbor High School, because the school will no longer exist.
Right.
So you know, here we go with a hostile takeover, and they have militant Uncle Toms helping them assist in this, you know, we want to say genocide, but this is worse than genocide, Pastor Pinckney. This is worse than genocide, because I look at the, you know, Benton Harbor being predominantly Black. You know, all of the students there at the high school are predominantly African-American students, you know, Black students. It's really sad because, you know, Black people never was intended to treat us equal or fair, or it's another word I'm looking for. But, you know, and I applaud the fact that you have, you know, white advocates on here that's rallying to support. But this stuff go way deeper than that, Pastor Pinckney. There was a film that just came out where they made the museum for the Jim Crow. The Jim Crow Museum. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, it's sickening. I mean, how long, you know, I know we have some honest, some people with integrity, people that have morals and values, you know, white people that really care about what's going on in this world that we live in, okay, in this country, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just take this thing to a whole nother level?
Absolutely.
You know, it has to go to a whole nother level, because if not, they're going to continue doing these hostile takeovers anytime a Black person have an opportunity, get an education, try to do anything, Pastor Pinckney. And I'm just, you know, I'm just a firm believer, because I know for a fact I'm down here fighting in the trenches right now. And we're fighting for, you know, the unanimous is not enough, where we have over 8,000 people that are sitting in these godforsaken hellhole jails and prisons across the state of Louisiana. And they really should not be there. Because I'm going to tell you, because of the Jim Crow, racist Jim Crow unconstitutions that they put in the Louisiana Constitution so that they can snatch Black people off the street and put them in prison and make slaves out of them.
There you go.
Now, if people really want to get, if they really want to get riled up in a fight, Let's fight the real fight that we know that we can win, and bring it all to a head, Pastor Pinckney. Let's bring it all to a head, you know, and let the real truth come out about what's really going on.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, Belinda.
They never intended for us to get an education in the first place. This is all by design. They don't want us to be educated. They don't want us to be economically sound and create jobs and have careers and stuff like that. They let us get so far, and then here they come with the chopping. You know, my grandma used to call the hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a hatchet
uh-huh.
is, Pastor Pinckney?
You
know what a hatchet is.
Oh, absolutely. I know what a hatchet is. Yeah,
so, you know, this is what
hatchet.
We're dealing with.
Yeah. And it's so amazing, your school, the school you graduated from. And look, you won't believe this, but the ministers here, there was a group of ministers here that sent a letter to the governor advising her to close down the high school. I don't know.
But that's what we call in the militant Uncle Toms.
Yeah.
That's all they doing is aligning themselves for whoever they want to support as a career politician and making sure that their people that donate to their campaign is financially sound, because they're the ones that's going to come in up in and buy the school for a dollar, land for a dollar. You know, in the case of Whirlpool, they got all of that land for free, didn't they?
Absolutely. And remember this, there's some land that has not been right next to the basketball, not the basketball, I'm sorry, the football field and the baseball field. There's some stuff over there, maybe 4 or 5 acres, that have not, there's nothing on it but trees.
Wow. Okay, Pastor Pinckney, so they want to shut the school down. Why don't we get 10 black people that say they want to buy the school?
That's going to be a challenge there. When we going to get 10 black people?
Okay, because they're going to sell it for a dollar. They're going to sell it for a dollar. I guarantee you, once they shut it down, okay, somebody going to buy it for a dollar.
But here's the thing.
You think there's going to be Dave Wickwan that's going to buy it?
His group is. His name may not be out there, but he's going to be part of him and Jeff Knowles, the World Food Corporation. But here's something, too, Belinda, that they can't even redevelop nothing in this city without the permission of the commissioners.
Mm.
You know, people don't know that. You can sit up there and buy that land if you want to, but you can't put nothing on it unless it comes through the commission. In order for them to build a gated community, gentrify that whole area, or you know what I'm talking about, right by the river over there, the one.
I know exactly what you're talking about,
right.
Down there by Main Street, right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you got Whirlpool, now on the other side of that, right, you know, they got a building, they built a new building there. This is why they want that area so bad. But look, they can't do any new development without the consent of the commissioners. I don't care what they do. You can't do it. If they get 5 people to say no, it's no. I don't care what you say.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, right now, that's what we're attacking down here right now. And I think Jennifer, you know, she mentioned that one of your callers mentioned about how the public officials are not serving the people. The parties, the Democratic Party, these parties are not serving the people. It's so many people that are disgruntled with both of these parties because people know they're being sold out. They can't keep on playing, messing with our intelligence like that, like we're supposed to be, got our heads so deep in the sand, we can't figure out that these people are selling us out. And they're not. Here we are putting the elected officials, we're voting for them, putting them in office, and then once they get in office, they flip-flop.
Yeah, like it ain't nothing.
like it ain't nothing, Pastor Pinckney, and you know for a fact, you know for a fact that Marcus Muhammad, what's the pastor name, the Brotherhood Church? No,
oh,
not
Atterbury.
The Brotherhood Church.
Atterbury.
Not Atterbury.
Gully.
Not Gully. You know which one I'm talking about. Hightower.
Hightower, okay.
What is he doing, Pastor Pinckney?
Yeah, well, he on the run, you know. He just happy that Whirlpool didn't send him to prison. He did some tacky stuff, but it is what it is. Well, listen, Belinda, I hate to tell you this, but we have just ran out of time.
Okay, well, Pastor Pinckney, I really appreciate your call. Thank you so much, Warrior. You are definitely a real true fighter in the trenches, and thank you so much for allowing me to share.
And you take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Tell the family I say hey.
Well, I've been trained by the best.
All right.
It's going down in Louisiana because it's not going to happen on my watch.
There you go. There you go. Because we at war, and people just don't know it. Right on there. All right.
All right. You have a good day.
All right,
thank you.
Bye.